Let's get to James Chow, our guest. He is Southeast Asia CIO at HSBC Global Private Banking and Wealth on the line from Singapore. James, thanks for being with us. So yesterday out of China, it was the weak data. And today, the PBOC-backed newspaper Financial News is saying China needs to do more to adopt policy tools to boost growth. Are we at a critical point here on the mainland?
Yeah, well, I think generally what we're seeing is a slowdown in economic momentum in mainland China, whether it's on the domestic consumption front or even externally when it comes to exports. So I think from that perspective, you're going to see much more easing of monetary policy to support growth. And I think that's likely to be the trend going forward in the weeks and months ahead.
What does it mean, though, for assets in China? I mean, we've seen this weakness in the yuan, China bonds rallying, and then, of course, people saying, look, you can still see upside in equities even if the momentum in the economy is slow. What's your view?
Well, we are neutral on Chinese equities right now because of multiple headwinds. We have seen a slowdown in industrial production, weakness in property market, and also a very uncertain trajectory when it comes to consumption. But of course, what we have also is that there is policy support when it comes to monetary easing, when it comes to perhaps even much more infrastructure spending going to the second half of this year. So there are some themes in China, longer term themes, particularly aligned with the investment-led recovery that could happen in the second half of this year, whether it's to do with the transition to a green economy or even technological upgrades within China. So I think it's a nuanced approach. We are neutral on China right now, and I think one has to be cognizant of some of the macro headwinds in the short term.
So neutral on China. James, very quickly, 30 seconds or so, are there other markets in the APAC that you're positive on right now?
Well, actually, we like Thailand, really on the back of recovery when it comes to global travel and domestic consumption. We also like Hong Kong market, really on the back of valuation and also at the margin some reopening. So and of course, a consumption recovery story. So I think these are the markets that we like.
Let's look ahead to the Fed minutes that we're getting this week. Signs, of course, of what the Fed is watching to drive the September decision. Do you consider that they are going to continue to raise rates aggressively, or are we going to actually see inflation come down gradually and do a lot of their work?
Yeah, well, I think the Fed minutes will be closely watched, especially to see what the Federal Reserve thinks about the economic outlook, as well as particularly on inflation, because in many ways, there is also a difference in inflation in which service inflation, particularly from wages and rents, are still very high. So I think that that's crucial to shed more light on what the Fed thinks about that, because crucially, whether we do get a peaking of inflation, I think the minutes will be closely watched in that respect. But I think by and large, it's premature to kind of think that the Fed would kind of pivot towards cutting rates anytime soon. So I think that's really because inflation, particularly service inflation, is still very, very sticky.
I'd like to get your take on what's happening in Japan. Yesterday, we had the GDP number. It indicates that basically the economy has recovered to its pre-pandemic size, or it did so in Q2. A growth rate of 2.2%, that's annualized. It missed the mark, but this is a preliminary read. I get that too. But what was equally perhaps as striking is that the deflator actually increased by 1.3%, the most since about 2014. Are you optimistic that maybe the worst is over for Japan?
Well, I think for Japan, it's really still kind of a wait and see mode. We are neutral on Japanese equities right now, really because there are still quite a bit of headwinds. Particularly, Japan is very exposed to global growth, and we are seeing a slowdown in the general manufacturing cycle. But albeit, of course, Japan can benefit from the Japanese yen weakness. So you might get some winners in Japan, particularly the export-oriented companies. But I think on the domestic side of things, and I think even on the tourism, you might still see a bumpy road ahead.
So you've talked about some of the markets that you like in this part of the region and perhaps don't like as well. Tell us what you're thinking when it comes to the Europe situation, because, of course, recessionary concerns here are probably even stronger than what we're seeing globally.
Yeah, well, I think the economic growth globally is fairly patchy. But I think in terms of Europe's case, there might be much more difficulties compared to US or even parts of Asia, really because growth momentum is slow. And I think inflation, it's also an issue. So, of course, policy will be tightening there. And if you think about it, particularly in terms of energy supply, that might become an issue going into the winter months. So I think quite a bit more cautious in Europe going forward.
Yeah, it's very interesting you make that point, because I think Reuters had a piece saying that German households may have to pay nearly 500 euros more a year for natural gas, given elevated energy prices. But that takes us neatly to crude oil, which is down today right now in the electronic session by about 1.3%. Seems as though Iran is optimistic that the two sides may be close to a nuclear deal, Iran and the U.S. How do you play energy right now?
Well, I think as of now, I would say that largely energy price, particularly oil price, it's really dependent on the global growth outlook. And clearly, the global growth momentum is slowing down. But nevertheless, I think there is also some beneficiaries, particularly energy companies that could kind of benefit from the higher oil price generally. And of course, many of these energy stocks does give fairly good dividends.
James, thank you as always. James Chua, Southeast Asia CIO at HSBC Global Private Banking and Wealth, joining us from Singapore.